If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Hemant.
And Jessica.
And you're listening to the Friendly Atheist Podcast. If you like what you're listening to, please go to patreon.com/friendlyatheistpodcast. If you give $5 a month, you get ad-free episodes. And let me give a huge shout-out to some of our more recent Patreon subscribers. So many thanks to Copper C, Chris A, Willa, Michael M, Jason O, Joni M, Alex T, Tad H, Ajay R, Kelly and Ryan. Thank you so much for your support. We appreciate it.
Thanks, everyone.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
Excellent.
Excellent,
sure.
He says.
Yeah, sure. I mean, excellent and meh would get the same reaction.
Sure.
They're all
things
the same.
Things are pretty garbage in a lot of ways right now. any good stories?
None.
Oh, good. Good. Then we can just wrap this up?
We can wrap this up. There are so many things I wrote down that I want to talk about. Let me start with one that caught my attention just yesterday. In Wisconsin, where there is a Democratic governor but a Republican legislature, the Republicans are currently pushing a bill. It's technically Assembly Bill 562, and it would require school boards to notify parents anytime sexual orientation, gender identity, or gender expression comes up at all in schools. So on a test, in a project, like anywhere, you gotta let parents know this is going on because they have to have the option to opt their kids out of it.
Uh-huh.
And so it's just stupidly bigoted.
Sure.
I mean, not that there would be any other type of bigotry, but like as if the mere existence of LGBTQ people or characters in a book
is
or anything
that, yeah,
is something
parents
that
need to be warned about.
Right. So there was a hearing on the bill. No one's taking any votes on it right now. It's just proposed. The bill is filed. And so one of the several GOP sponsors, her name is Donna Rosar, was basically asked by a Democratic lawmaker, well, what if a history book mentions someone like Harvey Milk? The San Francisco openly gay elected official, mm-hmm. first openly gay elected person in America, mm-hmm. who was then assassinated. Like, if a history book mentions Harvey Milk, do parents need to be warned about that? Like, or
I mean, oh, so you're wondering, is it if they're talking about LGBTQ issues versus a person who is
LGBTQ. Right? And so this Democrat was saying, like, well, I mean, the implication here is he's part of history. This is an important part of American history. This isn't advocacy of anything, but he's important. Like, so do you think that needs to be result in a warning to parents? I'm gonna tell you what she said.
Oh, good.
Because it's insane.
Oh, good.
Here's how it went. Here's the Democratic lawmaker. So if there's a book in the library that students can read or are going to be part of a history project about Harvey Milk, do the parents need to be notified that Harvey Milk is going to be mentioned in a book that they're reading, you know, people in America, famous people? I mean, he's got a stamp, you know? This isn't a random dude. This is a famous American is the implication here. Here's Rosar's answer. I'll try my best to imitate her.
Oh, God.
I'm not familiar. Is that a real person? I mean,
oh, no.
I mean, are you just throwing that out as a... To which the Democrat responds, he's a very real person.
Wow.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I'm not familiar with him.
Who is this? Wait, what is this woman's position?
Her position is every gay person, trans person, in anything, you have to send the warning, right?
Right.
And so she was just asked, what about this famous gay
person?
But I
mean, like, her professional, is she just a parent or is she a teacher?
She's a state lawmaker.
Okay, Hemant.
Yes.
But Harvey Milk is really famous. Is uh-huh. thing. I thought you were going to say she was like a science teacher or something like that.
No,
I was
she's only the lawmaker writing this bill.
Cool.
And then Democratic lawmaker was like, Jesus Christ, but okay, let me try again. So she's like, do parents need to be notified about someone like Pete Buttigieg if we're talking about the presidential election in 2020 because he ran for it?
Pete, who, what now?
And then the Democrat is like, do you know who Pete Buttigieg is? And she's like, yes, I know who he is. And then she finally answered the question.
Gay fellow from Indiana.
She finally answered the question. It's up to the discretion of the school board.
Oh,
so her
sure.
answer is yes. If the school board is full of, you know, conservative Christian bigots who think Pete Buttigieg's existence requires a warning, then so be it. If kids need to be pulled out of class so they don't hear about which Democrats ran for president in
right.
2020,
right.
then, you know, if a school board wants to do that, so be it.
See, here, you know what, Hammond? I know you're going to find this surprising.
Oh, I'm sorry. Before you respond, here's the Democrats' reaction to that. You realize how ridiculous all of this looks? And that was the end of the conversation.
Well, as long as somebody is aware. I think my main problem with this is that it doesn't go far enough. What I posit is that in history class, civics class, things like that, we should just not be aware of, you know, the sexuality of various people who, you know, various public figures. But we should definitely dig into people's private sex lives more. So what I'm proposing uh-huh. is Ben Franklin was a freak 101 because that guy got up to some shit when he was in France. So, like, I think if my hypothetical child was learning about Ben Franklin, that big old bald perv, I think I have the right to know because I don't want my parents being influenced by his perviness and the fact that he was carried around in one of those litters. Have you ever seen pictures of him?
I have
when
no
he was,
idea what you're talking about.
So when Ben Franklin was old, I think he had, like, gout. That man lived a bananas life. And so he couldn't walk anymore. And so he was carried around during, like, the Constitutional Convention. This might be apocryphal. And do you know what a litter is? Like, imagine in, like, in Middle East, it's like four men holding up. It's like a carriage with humans.
Yeah.
Anyway, he used to get around New York or whatever.
It's kind of badass.
Yeah. No, he was. I mean, I did kind of fuck up my own point because that does make him much cooler. But I do think.
I mean, I would have paid more attention in history class if these details were included. So if your point is we should include the sex lives of all historical figures
in all
writing.
Honestly,
if we're
going to get kids
writing,
interested in history, it yeah. has to have more boning. Simply must. Look how good Hamilton did.
I mean, the implication is the problem with this bill is that it reduces all LGBTQ people in history, mm-hmm. in books, everything to their sex lives yeah. and implies that if you mention them uh-huh. in any context, we have to talk about who they're boning,
yeah.
and therefore parents have the right to take their kids out of class so they don't learn about these people,
yeah.
which is stupid. And again, they haven't passed this law, and it's yeah. not like the governor's going to sign off on it mm-hmm. unless they're going to override it somehow. But, like, it's just stupid that this is what this woman is spending time doing.
I mean, it's a simple rule. If you have a penis and you've ever touched a different penis, you automatically don't have anything interesting or important to say. I don't
yes.
make the rules, Hemant. It's just how it goes.
I have some good news.
Good news for whom?
For everybody.
Okay, tell me.
Greg Locke, the Christian hate preacher from Tennessee,
yeah.
was finally suspended permanently from Twitter.
From Twitter?
From Twitter.
What did he do?
After year, what didn't he do?
But
for
like,
after. So I'm curious. I don't know if it was one tweet or many tweets, because for years now, this guy who once said who told CNN, like, there's no pandemic. And then CNN said, what's a pandemic? And he said, And then he's been basically preaching campaign rallies for Trump mm-hmm. and Trumpism. This is a guy who put a sign outside his church circus tent mm-hmm. that said no masks allowed indoors.
Oh, that's how important my freedom of decisions
yes,
is.
Everyone has freedom, but
thing.
If you're doing something I don't like, you're not allowed in here.
What are we doing
he
here?
He spread lies about the vaccine. He very adamantly tells people not to get vaccinated.
Sure.
And then I'm like, I think I jokingly said on Twitter, I'm 100% sure this guy got vaccinated.
Oh, yeah.
And I think his response, because he does respond to me, was, how dare you slander me like that? I'm like,
slander?
Yeah, like, I challenge you to a duel.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think I responded back like, well, did you get vaccinated?
And?
I don't think I got a response to that.
That's weird.
But anyway, he's been doing this forever. He's just like all caps, all MAGA, all the time, spreading lies. And finally, one day, he's finally just suspended.
So we don't know, like, because I feel like when Twitter suspended Trump, it was like, this is the thing that crossed the line.
Yeah, this is the one.
And they did not reveal that for
I'm sure they revealed it to him. Because they probably sent him a message saying, this tweet crosses the line, you violated our policies, and that's why. Even though many of his tweets have violated their policies, he knows why.
Yeah.
Twitter's under no obligation to tell us why.
Sure.
So I don't know what it was, but finally he got suspended, and of course he reacted by saying, well, that's their platform, they have every right to do that, I'm just kidding. He threw a hissy fit on Facebook.
He genuinely had me going for like a second.
He went on Facebook and he's like, I'm going to quote here. I'm the first pastor with any sort of platform that's been banned. That's not true.
Absolutely not true.
So guess what? We're fighting back right now. Within 1 hour of it happening, we've already had our wonderful lawyer for our ministry file, and we've just entered into a class action lawsuit against Twitter and all of these censorship Nazis. I have no idea.
A class action lawsuit? That's not...
Which has nothing to do with him being banned from Twitter. Because
it's not like... they did kind of ban a bunch of people en masse like 6 months ago, didn't they? Like a lot of Nazis and shit got deplatformed.
Probably.
But
he did say we've entered in with Candace Owens and Donald Trump and others. Like, what do you all have in
common?
Wait,
Candace Owens banned too?
I don't know. Should be? I don't know the answer. Huh. But my favorite part. They banned a pastor. They banned a pastor with a verified public blue checkmark platform on Twitter. That's what I think he's most upset about. He finally got validation in the cheapest way from a secular source, which is Twitter, and they took that away from him.
That's just your blue check mark talking, because I need that validation desperately.
He did call it censorship. He did call it a form of persecution.
Persecution, you say?
Obviously, he said it's a First Amendment issue, which it's not at all, like, by definition. Actually, I don't know if he said First Amendment, but that's the implication that they're out to get him or something.
Sure. Which, even if they are, I don't think that's covered
in
the First Amendment.
He violated their policies over and over. Yep. They did have every right to kick him out. But anyway.
To kick them out of their free service? Yeah.
The best part is, like, here's why this thing is good. Twitter, for someone like him, is his best option outside of Facebook, I would argue, to spread his message to an audience that isn't necessarily coming for it.
Right.
This is like Trump, too. It's one thing to talk to your right-wing echo chamber on Fox, but it's another to try when you have, like, other news sources propagating your misinformation for you and doing it, quote-unquote, objectively, so they're not going to say, oh, this is bullshit and batshit crazy or whatever.
Yeah.
So he needs that validation. He needs that platform. We talked before about Steven Anderson, the hate preacher from Arizona, who runs what is ostensibly a small Baptist church. But because he's on YouTube, his new independent fundamentalist Baptist cohort of like several colleagues with like small strip mall churches who mic themselves up every week and post their sermons on YouTube, where even if there's 12 people in the crowd, there are thousands who could watch them there. As soon as Anderson was banned from YouTube, I'm telling you, as someone who still follows the guy, because I'm curious, he doesn't have any reach now. He tries to get around the YouTube ban by getting other people to upload his sermons for him, which is still violating their rules, but like, even on the best channels that he can get access to, there's no one viewing his stuff. And he's kind of been a non-entity ever since. So, like, well, good.
You have to think with things like that, that people have, like, subscriptions to his YouTube thing.
Yeah.
So as soon as
but
he disappears,
YouTube,
it's not like those people are going to...
They're not searching for him.
To search for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I do. But
well,
they don't.
You have issues that we'll talk about later.
Thank you, yes. So I don't know what's going to happen to Greg Locke. He still has Facebook. So, like, he still has an audience of very gullible people who could get access to the stuff. And anytime he tweets something insane and right-wing, like, the vaccine is out to get you or whatever, That stuff, those things do spread because Facebook isn't going to stop it. Uh-huh. They love that sort of, quote, engagement. But at least on Twitter, he's out.
It was one of the very few articles I read was about how Facebook and Instagram know that it's terrible for teen girls. And they're like, meh. That's no problem with us. So, like,
The Wall Street Journal this week has been on top of. They got a stash of Facebook internal documents, and they've been slow rolling out all the horrible things.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know. Deplatforming works, I guess.
It does. It really does. It's not a First Amendment thing. Nope. It's that if you're going to break the rules and they get rid of you, wow, you brought this on yourself.
Right. When's the last time you've had to hear Milo, what's his face's face?
Exactly. The only way he gets any attention is when he appears on other right wing things.
Right.
And of course, he tries to stir shit up to get attention. It's what he does.
Mm-hmm.
But guess
what? Can I tell you a really small anecdote?
Yeah.
I was on Facebook the other day in, like, a group I'm with, and somebody posted this thing their friend said of, like, wow, Ben Shapiro is making some really salient points here.
Jesus
Christ. Blah, blah, blah. Like, can somebody explain to me what he's wrong about or something like that?
Yeah.
And this guy posted it. He was like, I don't know, my friend just said that. I thought he was liberal, blah, blah, blah. And so we're all saying, like, well, Ben Shapiro has this skill of, like, talking in circles around you and, like, talking about how, like, winning a debate doesn't mean you're factually correct. It just means you're a better debate. All of those things. And then, like, halfway down the thread, the guy was like, he just said that he heard Ben Shapiro on Joe Rogan's podcast, so I think we're good. I think I've figured out what is wrong with him. He's just a misogynist. Like, he's not a liberal who maybe thinks Ben Shapiro got some good points. He's like, oh, no, he listens to Joe Rogan, so his opinion is nothing. I shall talk to him no more.
I think my favorite Ben Shapiro is really an idiot, but you may not catch it at first glance. Anecdote is that in some on some YouTube video, someone asked him a question during one of his lectures, like, climate change is a problem. Uh-huh. What's going to happen? Like, why do you not care? Whatever. And he's like, whatever. If people can't live in... I'm sorry. I forgot the context. But he said if climate change affects where they live, like, it's not going to be a real problem. They can just sell their house and move.
Yes.
And it just goes on. And it's like, who are they going to sell the damn house to? It's underwater, you moron.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the smart kid's philosophy.
Right. And also as if, like, oh, just move. As if, like, moving an entire community of humans is... And we're already seeing what's going to happen in the future, right? Like, people are leaving... People left California for Texas or for Colorado. And then they're going back to California because Texas is, like, too hot and Colorado's on fucking fire or whatever. And it's just rich people are going to be able to move out of the way of these issues. But...
No one's using the Fire Festival Island. You know, just go wherever
you want.
I remember
there's, like, several mansions built on there, if I remember right. I saw the ads. Looked fun. I'm sorry I missed it.
let's talk about... Here, one more good news.
Okay.
Pew Research Center came out with a survey this week that talks about the percent of U.S. adults who say they are vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
Atheists, and I'm not saying nuns, I'm saying atheists.
Okay.
90% of atheists are fully vaccinated, at least one shot vaccinated.
Fuck you, nerds. Atheists are going to take over this world. We're the only ones who are going to survive this pandemic.
Agnostics, who we probably make fun of.
Sure.
84% vaccinated.
All right, guys. A little wishy-washy, but that's your brand.
And then the nuns in particular, who are not us, who drag us down, they're 69% vaccinated.
Nice.
So overall, unaffiliated, 75% vaccinated. But again, atheists, 90% vaccinated.
Yeah.
And then at the other end of the scale.
Oh, God.
White evangelicals, 57%. Vaccinated. That's the lowest number if you sort by religious demographic. 57% vaccinated, 40% say I am not.
Cool. And are those 40% people, do they all, like, put a little American flag sticker next to their response too?
I'm sure they did. Like, this is what happens when your non-religious beliefs involve having a healthy respect for science versus being part of a religious cult where you were taught science is the enemy and you were...
And people are lying to you to if they're
myths and propaganda and right-wing conspiracies. And here's the thing that was really surprising to me. If you go to not white evangelicals, but black Protestants. So again, white evangelicals, 57% are vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
Black Protestants, 70%. vaccinated. And here's the thing. Black Protestants have every reason to distrust science.
Hey, this country, I don't know if you guys have read any books, but this country's been pretty fucking shady towards people of color over the years.
Books involved a gay character, so you're not allowed to read them anymore. But yeah, like they have legitimate reasons, whether it's Tuskegee or like the long history of discrimination in medicine, and yet they're still getting vaccinated.
Hey, if you want to feel really good, go look up black maternal death rates and see how that strikes you.
And so white evangelicals who have none of that reason to not get vaccinated are still not getting vaccinated because they just believe lies.
Jesus vaccinated them with his cross shot. Is that anything? Does that make sense?
I know what you're saying, and no, it doesn't. And here's the thing about this, besides the fact that these people are hurting all of us.
Yep.
It's the idea that if they can't get the simplest moral questions right, you know, why do you, like, should gay people have rights?
Yes.
The answer is yes, unless you're in one of these churches when it's like, what? No, that'll destroy everything.
Yep.
Should you get a shot after 650,000 Americans have died and we know it works? No. Like, if you can't get the simple things right, you need religion to help you with the thornier moral issues, at least in theory. And they're failing on, like, morality 101. Why should anyone trust them to help them deal with tougher issues in life?
Because they say they're moral authorities, and you would be shocked at if you just walked up to somebody and said, hey, I'm really smart, you should listen to me a lot. You're gonna catch some people being like, yeah, okay, you seem trustworthy, I guess. Did you hear about that? I saw a really good tweet about a woman who was like, oh, the is it mu or mu, what's the Greek letter?
Mu.
She's like, mew, sometime we're going to have to dig in and figure out where these scientists are coming up with these random names for the disease, for the strains. And anyway, I'm going to laugh about it for genuinely the rest of my life.
In case anyone's curious, atheists and agnostics combined make up about 8% of the country. White evangelicals make up about 30%. Mm. So our 90% vaccinated, I mean, that's good, but that's a small percentage of the American population. Their 40% who are unvaccinated represents a shit ton of Americans, which is why, like, their inability to respect science and trust facts, like, it hurts everybody. Mm-hmm. And I wish I could say, look, 90% of us are vaccinated. That's good for the country. It is, but we're a small slice of the pie, which is
we cannot carry this whole country on our backs.
We should, but we don't.
We try. Maybe if we hit the gym more.
One more piece of good news. I know this week is full of it before I get to sadder stuff.
Oh, good.
It's slightly tongue-in-cheek, but it's still funny to me. You've now heard that all these groups are requesting religious exemptions for COVID vaccines. And it turns out the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster is now offering its own religious exemption to COVID vaccines.
I haven't heard about those kids in a while.
And what they're saying is that you can now sign up to get an official letter that you could present to your employer that says, part of my religion says I need to be exempt from working next to an unvaccinated person.
Love that.
Please be advised, we have strict guidelines concerning what can enter our bodies. It is a deeply held belief and core tenet of our religion to avoid harmful substances. Our members must not be exposed to or work in the proximity of unvaccinated individuals. These people are knowingly taking the risk of infecting others with harmful virus particles. Like, here's the thing. You can call it a joke religion all you want, but that has as much legitimacy as white evangelicals saying, well, abortion, therefore I don't want the vaccine, which is a lie and dumb. Like, for what it's worth, I think 6,000 people have requested and gone through the process of asking for a form. Whether any of that does anything, who knows? But it's fun to think about.
And are they doing that on like a national level or is it a state?
I think Bobby Henderson, the prophet who heard from the Flying Spaghetti Monster, we'll give it to anybody.
Sure. So, okay, I like it. Good to know. Do you get that if you're a freelance writer who works from home with your vaccinated husband?
Yes, there's no employment requirement.
Great.
Here. And while we are on this subject, too, one more that's just super fun. This is totally serious and real. Because we're talking about religious exemptions to the COVID vaccine, there is a hospital chain in Arkansas, Conway Regional Health System, pretty big chain of hospitals.
Okay.
And they want all their employees to get vaccinated for obvious reasons. You're at hospitals. Yep. You're working with patients. Yep. We need you safe. They said 5% of our staff has requested religious or medical exemptions. And you have to think most of them are religious exemptions, not medical ones.
Mm-hmm.
Medical ones, legit, presumably.
Yeah.
Religious ones, not so much.
And also medical exemptions are the reason that everybody needs to get a shot who's
right.
able to.
Because some people literally can't.
Exactly.
So they were trying to say, like, okay, these people are asking for religious exemptions because, according to them,
mm-hmm.
like, these COVID vaccines were developed using cells that came from an aborted fetus.
In 1970?
In like 50 years ago. And like, yeah. I think two of the three vaccines absolutely don't use mm-hmm. that strain. And one of them is like, we're not like chopping up a baby to make your vaccine.
Don't threaten
this
me with a good time.
This is a line that we've been using for other drugs for many years. This mm-hmm. is standard practice.
Yeah.
So here's what the chain is doing. This is in an article from the Associated Press from their CEO, Matt Troop. He basically made every employee who requests a religious exemption,
uh-huh.
they have to sign some paper saying, like, no, this really is a sincerely held belief. Like, paperwork that
motion.
Says, yes, but you do have to sign paperwork saying, I really do stand by this. And I'm going to read from the AP article. The hospital responded by sending employees a form that lists a multitude of common medicines, including Tylenol, Pepto-Bismol, Preparation H, and Tums, that it said were developed and tested using fetal cell lines.
Is that true?
Yes. And those were actually developed using, like, closer to the source, right?
Whoa.
And so the form asked people to sign it and attest that, quote, my sincerely held religious belief is consistent and true, and I do not use or will not use any of the listed medications.
That's very
good. So if
good.
We catch you using a Tylenol because you got a headache at work.
We're just going to run after you with a shot.
Like, they're not saying we're going to fire you if we see you using it, but like, we want you to feel bad. I think that's kind of the gist of this. We want you to know
yeah.
that we're on to your lie. We know you use some of these other medications. So if you're saying I can't get vaccinated because abortion,
uh-huh.
they're like, I hope you know all of the medicines you all regularly use, over-the-counter medicines, drugs, whatever.
Yeah.
Everyone uses them. No one complains about them.
Nope.
And if you're going to say no to the vaccine for that reason, I hope you know all of these. Every time you get this pill, mm-hmm. you are, I guess, in your mind,
right.
fine with abortion if right. it helps you with pain relief.
Well, and it's, oh God, things like that, that are like, oh, if we say life starts at fetal 6 weeks, is that when, like, what's it called? Payments start
yeah,
from the
child support payments.
Thank you.
All of that. The CEO of the regional health system said staff who are sincere should have no hesitancy with agreeing to the list of medicines listed. And again, I don't think he's saying we're going to fire you if we catch you doing it.
But don't be a dick.
But,
you work in a
yeah.
fucking hospital, you cunt.
This is also from an article. Different article, but he said the hospital wants to ensure that staff members are sincere in their stated beliefs.
Sure,
and
sure,
second,
sure.
it wants to educate staff who might have requested an exemption without understanding the full scope of how fetal cells are used in testing and development in common medicines, which is cute and adorable.
Yeah.
Like, we just want to educate you.
Right.
But also, let's call out your hypocrisy because
right.
you don't see churches saying, how dare anybody use Tylenol,
uh-huh.
even though it is tested and developed even more so than the vaccines using these lines developed from fetal cells.
I mean, it's all the same thing when people are like, oh, I'm not going to take the vaccine because I don't know what's in it. Like,
yeah.
do you know?
Tell me what's in a bean burrito. I dare you. Like, come on.
That's extremely funny. Can I pitch you a Halloween parody? Actually, it's literally a parody of, you haven't seen the Halloween movies, have you?
Of course not.
Okay. The second one.
Do I see movie? I would have said that to anything you
no,
said.
No, I know. The second movie takes place. Do you know Michael Myers, though?
Yes.
Right? With the mask?
Yeah, because it was like parodied in Scream.
Yes, sure. The second Halloween 2 takes place in a hospital. Like,
okay.
It's after the night of Halloween, and then they're in the hospital, and he gets out again and kills a bunch of people in the hospital. Spoiler alerts
okay.
about
what people die in this movie.
I know, can you believe it?
Uh-huh.
Okay, here's what I'm pitching. A parody of that taking place in a hospital, but in one of these hospital systems. And instead of Michael Myers walking around with his
stabby knife?
Hatchet? Question mark? I don't know. I think he has a knife. Mm-hmm. It's like somebody walking around with with the COVID shot. And it's all these people like screaming in the bathroom like, no!
While holding then, their Bibles up to stop.
Exactly. And then they just like, somebody gets them in the arm. And they're like, and then they're healthy and walk away. I don't know how it end. I just came up with it now. But I think it has legs.
There was a thing going viral on Twitter this week or a couple of weeks ago where basically someone who had, if you see the first screenshot, it's someone complaining about the vaccine. I will not take it. How dare they make me? And then the follow-up tweet later on is, we got the shot. We're fine.
Wait, was the first tweet sincere? Or
I
was
think
it
so. Funny. And so was the second one. He's like, you guys have got it.
Was
no,
he
we're fine.
Somebody or was it just?
I think it was a random person, oh but they were God. Complaining. And then they're like, it wasn't a big deal. All right.
Yeah.
Just, yeah. That's how shots work.
Isn't that a conversation you've had with your 3-year-old? Like yeah. They're crying about it and they got it like, oh, it wasn't that bad. Like, yeah kid.
That's how shots work.
Good job, 50-year-old man. You learned the same lesson as my 14-month-old niece.
Ah, religion. Okay, so the New York Times publishes, they used to call them op-eds, now they call them guest essays, to make it clear this isn't us saying it, this is random person over here saying it.
That's fair. And, op-ed is a really dated term, actually. Yeah.
And so they basically published a piece last weekend, okay. And I still want to talk about it now because it makes me mad. They were talking about the Texas abortion law that says anybody who turns in someone who's getting an abortion after 6 weeks, you're eligible to get $10,000 paid for by that woman who's suffering and wants an abortion.
Is that where that $10,000 comes from?
It's not coming from the state. Yep. It's coming from the people.
Fuck.
Plus legal fees, by the way. And all that.
I've kept such an arm's length distance from this thing because it's just too upsetting. So that is new news to me. And guess what? I'm mad all over again.
So like if you're anti-abortion.
Yes.
It would be, I mean, theoretically, it would be very easy for them. Imagine this essay. I oppose abortion on principle, but Texas got this all wrong by punishing women for this personal decision, along with, you know, anyone whose only crime, quote unquote, was to help someone in need, like an Uber driver, getting them to the hospital or whatever. Texas lawmakers aren't stopping abortion at all. They are forcing women to go underground for unsafe abortions, pushing them to leave the state to have the procedure later in their pregnancies, galvanizing the opposition to enshrine abortion rights nationwide and making us look exactly like all those nasty stereotypes we've been trying to avoid. Hmm. I could see that argument somewhere making sense, and also you wouldn't be a hypocrite.
Wait, I thought you were summarizing somebody's actual essay.
No, that
essay.
Is me saying I could see someone who's anti-abortion writing that, and I would be like, well, at least you're not a hypocrite.
Like, genuinely, when you were saying that, I was like, wow, that's a really reasonable thing. And then I thought you were going to be like, and it was said by Sarah Huckabee Sanders. But this is all just a hypothetical.
All hypothetical.
So what did somebody actually say, Hemant?
So they turned the page over to Karen Swallow Pryor, who is a... Don't do it. Don't do it. Everyone on Twitter did it. Don't
do
it. So
that's
Karen
not
Swallow
okay.
Pryor is a professor at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. She actually worked at Liberty University for like 15 to 20 years, and she was one
and
of those
went back
people
down to the minors.
And she's actually been one of the people like every religion reporter goes to when they're like, "Is there anyone reasonable at Liberty University who could be like, yeah, we're not in love with this?" And she kind of straddles that line between, "Yeah, I know what Falwell's doing," versus, "I'm doing my job here because I'm Christian and I'm good at what I do and whatever." Mm-hmm. So she's like Liberty reasonable. Which still makes her insane to the rest of the world, if that makes sense. So anyway, she left Liberty. I think they were enough disagreements with how Falwell was doing things, and I don't think this had anything to do with the scandal. It was right before that. But she left. Now she's working at the seminary. Whatever. Mm-hmm. She wrote an argument saying this law, while not perfect, is a step in the right direction. And I want to read through parts of this because it's just insane that anyone could argue this stuff and that the New York Times said, yeah, we're going to publish all of this and spread these ideas to a wider audience. Let's platform these ideas. Remember, like, was it last year when Tom Cotton was like, send in the troops to take down protesters?
Oh, yeah.
And everyone was, and the guy who ran the editorial side of the New York Times was basically fired over that, because even the employees at the Times are like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, this isn't right.
You, just because he's a senator doesn't mean you publish, yeah, let's just kill all the protesters.
Oh, my God.
Just because you can have a platform doesn't mean you gotta publish everything. Anyway, let me read through some of this. This is from Karen Swallow Pryor. Abortion is a failure for every woman and her unborn child.
Hey, hey, hey.
That's her opening line.
Off.
Opening, like, let me win you over. Abortion is a failure for every woman and her unborn child. How many mistakes can you find in, I'm not even done with the sentence yet. Unborn child. You could easily say unborn grandparent and it would make just as much sense.
Like
miscarriage is a failure, everybody.
I actually, oh boy, I enjoy seeing the pushback on things like this, because even among sort of left-leaning circles, there's often a sentiment, and it's often echoed by our political leaders, of, listen, abortion is always a tragedy. It's always the worst thing.
We must reduce the number of abortions.
Which is fine. Reducing the number of abortions is great. I think reducing the number of, like, appendectomies is also good. These are worthy goals, to have people, like, go through
fewer. I want you less in the hospital.
Yes. Be in the hospital less. Wear your own clothes more. Everybody's winning. But this sort of idea of, like, oh, it's always a tragedy. And I think an article came out recently that something like 9 out of 10 women do not regret their abortion decision 5 years later, 10 years later, or whatever the thing was.
It's not a tragedy. It's just something I did.
And it's not to say, for some people, yeah, I bet it's a really hard moral decision, maybe because you've been told your entire life that an abortion is the worst thing that can ever happen to somebody, and all of a sudden you're 17 and pregnant, and what the fuck am I going to do about it? It's almost like they don't really think about real life situations, how people get pregnant, and not just this hypothetical person that they've made up that has a lot of sex and then has abortions, because abortions are really fun and you get the good drugs, I guess. So what they're not doing is, anyway, so this 17-year-old girl gets an abortion, and is that a huge tragedy, or is that somebody?
Not only is it a tragedy, it's a failure.
A failure.
That girl who was the victim of rape, mm-hmm. possibly, mm-hmm. She's a failure.
I think I saw somewhere that there was like a 10-year-old girl, something, that gave birth because she was raped and got her, you know, went through puberty a little bit early.
Like, she's a failure to these Christians.
These people are monsters. Go ahead.
I just want to point out, there is a whole essay that goes with this. I am not even done with the first sentence, but do you see my point already?
I do see
it's
your
not going to go well.
I do see your point.
She goes on to say in the first sentence, it's a failure of love, justice, and mercy.
Oh, shut the fuck up. That's the first. Suck my dick.
Texas's new abortion law is far from perfect.
Oh, no.
But I hope it can move us closer to these ideals. Far from perfect. The Affordable Care Act was far from perfect because, yeah, it did some stuff, but it's a starting point. And Obama basically said that over and over. It's not what I want, but it's what I can get.
Yeah.
Let's keep improving it. Here's what Karen Swallow Pryor is saying, as if, like, forcing rape and incest victims to have their assailant's babies and pay a $10,000 fine and to shut down the clinic they got the abortion at,
mm-hmm.
that's all a good public policy that, you know, we're going to improve even more.
I don't see anybody being harmed in this situation. Oh. Hey, Hemant.
Yo.
Do you know what the leading cause of death among pregnant women is?
COVID?
It's murder. It is homicide. So this, just have the baby and give it up. Sometimes partners don't do that good when their partner gets pregnant and they beat the shit out of them. Is that good? Is
that
what we're aiming for?
Yeah.
Homicide is the number one cause of death of pregnant women. Homicide.
Christians like their guns, though. Texas loves their guns. She goes on to say that the part of the law that says if you got an abortion at this clinic and you're found guilty and you got to pay this bounty, whatever, it would also put the health clinics out of business. She called that, quote, an innovative workaround.
This cunt. I know, I've said cunt twice already.
Like when you I found a YouTube hack that lets you not watch the ads. Okay, that's now, an innovative workaround.
Honestly, now I'm mad that you didn't let me make fun of her name because she does not deserve my respect for her silly, stupid name.
The amount of
her name is Karen.
It is Karen.
She's.
And if you swallowed prior, you wouldn't have needed the abortion. But that's everybody on Twitter.
I was going to go more like upper crust with that, but whatever. Yeah, I'll write something good while you tell me about this.
Yeah, perfect the set. She goes on to say, we live in a transactional society that gives rise to bounty hunters on the left and the right.
Who's bounty hunting on the right? Left.
Yeah, that's a very good question. I would love to know what the equivalent of this both sides argument is. I don't know. She didn't tell us. There's no link to the word left.
I'm truly trying to think of any, can you think of a single thing that even in the most bad faith argument, she could be.
I have no idea. No, I think it's just whiplash from people who genuinely think the left is as bad as the right.
Cause there's nothing like that for reporting cops.
No,
there's no system in place like that.
Mm-mm. No.
And that's the only thing the left is especially mad about right
now.
Made
it up because she hasn't thought through this.
Okay. If the left doesn't have a bounty out on cops' heads, then maybe slow your fucking roll.
Let me keep going.
Yeah, whatever.
She says, it's a biological and ontological reality that each human life begins at conception. It's a biological reality.
Ontological? Eh. Isn't like, that?
It's theological. It's an opinion. When life begins is not some sort of settled fact in that sense. And just to be clear, the thing that bugs me is her complete refusal or inability to grasp exactly what Texas lawmakers are doing here. Like, the right-wing supermajority in Texas is using its power to suppress Democratic voters, mm-hmm. let handguns roam free. Mm-hmm. You don't even need to register or have training anymore.
No.
Spread COVID mm-hmm. as much as they want.
And
now with this law, they're saying it'll deputize any individual to go after women they don't even know. And she's suggesting that's only kind of maybe sort of a problem, maybe. And then she suggests that if there's any overreach here, uh-huh. the courts will take care of it. She says, deputizing private citizens to enforce the ban is certainly fraught with risk. Some fear the law will turn otherwise uninterested citizens into bounty hunters who chase abortion providers. Although one judge's temporary restraining order that blocks one group from suing Planned Parenthood mm-hmm. shows that checks and balances are in place.
Has she ever seen the movie The Purge, do you think?
I was gonna, has she heard of the Supreme Court? Does she know that the whole problem is that courts, by the way, that one order mm-hmm. does not stop this law.
Right.
It stops one bad faith lawsuit. But again, the whole problem is we have a supermajority, conservative supermajority on the Supreme Court that will legally overturn Roe v. Wade very soon.
As soon as they can.
And Trump and Republicans have installed right-wing judges specifically because they know mm-hmm. those people are not going to follow the law when it comes to abortion rights. Mm-hmm, 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 that's mm-hmm. why they're there. She has no clue about this mm-hmm, at mm-hmm, all. Mm-hmm. And again, she's supposed to, the way she is portrayed by religion journalists is she's the sensible person in these conservative spaces. This entire article is a testament to why, no, she is as bad as all the crazies you try to pit her against in these articles. That order was not a check or balance. It was a temporary bandage. It doesn't do anything to stop this law.
Did you see that Amy Coney Barrett is really worried that people aren't going to trust the Supreme Court? I swear to fucking Christ,
it's
these
not
people.
Partisan. Clarence Thomas said the same thing today or yesterday.
Really? Clarence Thomas said something stupid
Clarence
and terrible?
Thomas,
I can't believe it.
Whose wife is a right-wing activist who basically has spent the past couple of decades being like, you know who my husband is, as she's giving speeches
he
to the right.
He himself is a, sex pest. What the fuck? Oh, my God. These monsters. We have two men on the Supreme Court who have been accused of sexual assault. We have two of them. There's only nine, Hemet. There's only nine of them. What's 2%? What's 2 out of 9? What percentage is that?
0.2 repeating.
0.2 repeating? So
it's almost 20%? A quarter. It's almost a quarter.
Fuck.
Yeah. She, Karen Swallow Pryor, implies...
Thanks for doing that math.
Implies it's a good idea to fight for childcare and food insecurity and affordable housing and all the stuff you need to make it...
But that will come later, when we have all the babies.
She spends zero time actually talking about that. She's just like, yeah, I mean, we should take care of kids too. But let me get back to my point, which is that, I don't know, little rape victims are failures.
Does she have anything in there about, like... pinching a penny between your knees or something like that.
As in the best birth control is taking the pill and sticking it between your knees and leaving it there.
Ew.
Just keep your legs shut. Here's what she says at the very end. As history has shown again and again, we sometimes need the law to teach us to love.
Oh, fuck you. Jesus Christ. The law? We need the law to teach us how to love? I thought Jesus did that.
Jim Crow laws really helped spread love throughout America.
Like, they...
I'm not done yet. Sometimes it takes a law to remind us that fellow human beings are not ours to own, harm, or kill. Love is a higher law, but it is still a law,
stop.
And this
you
is where
right
we
now.
Must begin.
You stop right now, because this woman's argument is that nobody realized that slavery was bad until they outlawed it. Cool argument you're making. Neat.
She teaches at a theological seminary.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. My God. Everything was cool.
I just
want
to remind you that the people who say all this also argue you need God to be good. And like... this woman is full of God. Look where it gets her. If you need the Bible to remind you to be a decent person, you're the problem, not us.
This last month, I have been thinking a lot about a lot of conversations I had with people older than me who told me I was being, quote unquote, hysterical, and I'm not doing a bit, about, like, Roe v. Wade. Like, when Trump was first elected, I was told I haven't the word hysterical about Roe v. Wade. Nobody cares about Roe v.
Like
Wade, Jess.
Everyone who was lamenting the 2016 elections were right.
Yeah.
All the people were right.
Of course we were right. I think I underreacted, honestly.
The whole cottage industry of Hillary tweeted about this and, like, saw it coming. We know.
I just, I remember the specific conversations I had in which I was shut down constantly. And this sounds horrible. I remember those people and I will never forgive them. And I know that makes me sound like a fucking lunatic. I will never forgive them and I will never forget about it. And that's where I am right now emotionally, is I need to have a list of enemies like fucking Arya Stark.
I searched the piece to see what she said about the need for free and accessible contraception, the need to teach comprehensive sex education, basically anything that would lower abortion rates.
Unwanted pregnancy rates.
It would lower. She said nothing about any of it. Mm-hmm. She also didn't mention how this law in Texas in particular disproportionately impacts people of color, poor people. She doesn't care.
Race is a myth.
Mm-hmm. She just doesn't care at all. And again, I expect her to not know about any of this stuff. That's her entire, her career is built on not knowing the facts about the things she's talking about. But for the New York Times to amplify those ideas as if they are worthy of a wider debate or consideration, it's irresponsible on their part to just publish something with no regard for how it will be used to justify this sort of stuff in the future. Pryor spent like a bunch of the week on Twitter after saying, oh, people are mocking me because of my name, because they basically implying they can't refute anything I'm actually saying, which is not true.
Yeah.
But also, like, I got published in the New York Times today. And like, see,
Published in the New York Times.
Like,
it's not that
fuck
hard.
Do I know? Yeah. Like, the idea that like she's can use this and people can now say it's not some random professor at a Christian
Times published.
The New York
stupid name.
Right. The New York Times published this piece that we ought to be debating and discussing. Like, if you work for the paper in this in that section and you know the power your section has, again, like I said at the beginning, there is a way to get a anti-abortion voice in this debate in a way that is not disrespectful to their views, that would allow them to maintain, quote unquote, their principles. Mm-hmm. And still say, here's why the law is problematic, but here's what I'm looking to do, and here's what we should do. There's a way to do that.
Yeah.
This is just irresponsible and fucking infuriating because of the, like, it's all about love. Like, no, we're You spent the beginning of the piece calling rape victims failures and the end of the piece saying, we need the law to teach us how to love.
Are we back in the cycle where women are forced to share their sometimes painful own personal stories about abortion so yes, people will believe that it happens? Because I don't like that part of the news cycle. Yeah. I have a question, RE, abortions, and like just some practical things I want to do on the ground here in the greater Chicagoland area. As you may or may not know, Hemant, there is a Planned Parenthood maybe 2 miles from where we are right now. You know, if you go up...
The abortion plex. Yes.
So there, it's right by us. It's in Aurora. And there's a Mariano's, the grocery store right next to it.
Okay.
And so once in a while, I'll go to that Mariano's if I'm feeling fancy or I need some tarragon and they don't carry it at my normal Jewel.
It's the whitest thing you said all episode.
Tarragon's very delicious. I made Bernays sauce. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
but... When you leave the Mariano's to go back, you know, east toward where I live, you drive between, on your right, a Planned Parenthood, and on your left, a, like, Waterleaf Pregnancy Crisis Center.
Of course, yes.
And so one time I was driving there and I noticed two gentlemen, as I was going into the store, I noticed two men sitting on a folding chair across the road from the Planned Parenthood and just sitting staring at the building. And anytime somebody would walk by or walk in or out, they would cross themselves.
Okay.
So as I was leaving, I rolled down my window and I said, hey, what are you guys doing? And they're like, we're not bothering anybody. And I was like, I said, are you harassing people who are walking into the Planned Parenthood? And they're like, we're not saying anything. And I was like, oh, well, so you guys are just being assholes. And I drove away. Now, a couple months later, happens again, but there was only the one guy. Unfortunately, I had ice cream in my trunk, so I couldn't stop then. Now, here's what I'm thinking. This weekend, if I drive by it and he happens to be there, is it... My plan right now is if I see him, I'm going to park my car between him and the building and play music really loud for like an hour. Do you think that is helpful or not helpful? And if not helpful... What would you suggest I do instead? And I'm not going to assault anybody.
Right.
But I'm not below yelling things. Not violent things.
I sometimes go back and forth when I see videos of counter protesters. Mm-hmm. Like, I appreciate what they're doing. I honestly just want to hear from the people who work at the center. Like, what can we do that would be helpful to you? Is it distracting these people?
Mm-hmm.
Or would it be like helping escort people into the clinic? I don't know.
Actually, I signed up for escort service and I owe them a thing. So I am going to do that. But in the meantime...
Because I also think sometimes when the counter protesters do it, I've seen some videos that make me cringe by the counter protesters. I'm sure, not helping. But also, like, they're just going to use that as an attempt, like, you can't handle what we're saying.
But here's what I'm going to do. Pull up. Park the car.
Mm-hmm.
Radio on pretty loud with, like, real positive, like, girl jams.
Mm-hmm.
Or... I also thought about just making a playlist of all of the songs that are about abortion, because there's more than you think. And playing that, but I think that's too, like, I can only play Brick by Ben Folds so many times, you know?
Yes.
But I'm just thinking, if I just sit and read and play my music and if he says something, I say, I'm not bothering, you know, I'm not harassing you. This is just where I want to sit right now to read my book. Is that cool or not cool?
I mean, try it and see what happens.
Okay.
I'm gonna jump to a different story, an update, if you will, from last week. Remember we talked about that Catholic preschool teacher who allegedly abused a 2-year-old boy, and then the mom had a meeting with her the next day, and then just went.
Well, yeah, just went ham on her.
Yes, and beat her up, and then the mom was arrested. So the question remains... This is, the teacher's name is June Barrow. The mom's name who was arrested, she's Casey Marie Brooks. This is at St. Teresa of Avila Catholic Church in Grovetown, Georgia. We finally got a little update on the preschool teacher because there was a sheriff's report. Like, they were investigating the video that no one could see about what she allegedly did to the 2-year-old. And what
How
we found
out. How old was this woman? I'm sorry. Was she
28 was the mom. And the teacher was 61.
Okay, I thought she was older. Okay,
yeah. And by the way, the church... Oh, I'm sorry, let me go back. The district attorney's office said this week they will not be filing charges against the preschool teacher. They said,
really?
After a thorough review of video evidence, investigators have concluded that no crime occurred.
What?
Mm-hmm. The sheriff's office reviewed at least 4 days of surveillance video of Barrow and the child before deciding there was nothing criminal in her behavior.
Is this, did they see this?
The mom had said, I saw the video and she was doing horrible things to my son. The DA's office says, we saw it. We saw nothing criminal.
And they saw the same video that the mom did, or did they pull four random days?
It's a good question. I don't know what they saw. A local news team says we're working on getting the footage ourselves so we can do, follow up on this.
This is building up to be a very interesting story.
But yeah, the official word, though, for now is that nothing criminal occurred. So it's only the mom who went ham on the preschool teacher who's in trouble and should be in trouble. But again, this requires to accept all of this.
Yeah.
You have to think the people working for the Catholic Church and the cops are telling the truth and handling abuse well.
Those are my two most trusted sources for right. all things moral and good. Yeah. So that's a good point.
The church that oversees the school also released a statement this week. They said, see, there's no mistreatment of any child in our program and nothing to in any way support the false narrative of the person who assaulted the teacher.
So they just slapped a coat of paint on the thing and they were like, yeah, I know, that's fine. We have no problems here.
So again, for now, the story's done unless we find out anything else. We'll see.
Wow. Listen, honestly, thank you for that update because now I want to know. Because I would write a movie about this. Like, this woman is, like, being tricked into thinking she's insane by these cops who want to protect the teacher, who's maybe a cult leader.
Who knows?
I'm going to write this down.
Yes.
My creative juices are flowing today. I never finished that joke that I was going to write for you, but I don't remember what it was.
We were doing an abortion bit, I think. I forgot. Another update for you.
Yes.
This is a story about Mark Samsel, who is a Kansas state representative, a conservative Christian Republican, who made news a few months ago because he's also a substitute teacher, because that's not a weird thing. A lot of state lawmakers in certain states just make no money. Mm-hmm. They have to have real jobs. And his job is he's a substitute teacher. So he was in a school. And what we found out through a student recording the class, this is a guy, I'm going to just read, like, he was recorded telling students that there was a sophomore who attempted to take her own life because, quote, he has two parents and they're both females. And he also said, God knows when you masturbate and that students must follow God's rules. And if you don't obey God, we're going to see how it's going to turn out. He said all this to the kids.
Did I black out for a second between this kid tried to kill themselves and they have gay parents?
That's Samsel's excuse for why this thing happened in their community.
People are supposed to make excuses for people trying to end their own life. That's pretty gauche, if you ask me.
And then he allegedly kicked a kid in the balls as you walk away for a moment. He allegedly kicked
what
a kid in the balls.
What are you saying to me right now?
Yes. So
I was trying to get a glass of water.
You can go get your water. So he allegedly did this. He was arrested, and that's the story everyone heard. A Kansas lawmaker kicked a kid in the balls. And after he allegedly assaulted this child, after his arrest, he put out this, like, batshit crazy statement on Facebook where it included this line. If you think my behavior in the classroom on Wednesday was appropriate, inappropriate, or even criminal, how about we compare it to your behavior at any given public school or private or homeschool sporting event? Did I intend to hurt a soul or act for a single moment out of rage, animosity, or any other element of battery? Absolutely not.
Wait. Why did he kick a kid in the balls? What are you talking about right now?
We don't know.
What the fuck is going on?
But after the Samsel pushed him against the wall and kicked him, the boy's back and testicles were in pain for approximately 15 minutes, according to the affidavit given by the boy to the deputy.
Sure.
And then when the deputy asked Samsel, Samsel had said God told him to do this. And when the deputy asked Samsel, did God tell him to, like, kick the kid in the balls or whatever? Samsel's response was twice. Yeah. And then, this is all old news, by the way.
He told him twice to kick him in the balls, or to kick him in the balls twice?
Why did you put your hands on the boy? And he said, he points to the ceiling. And they're like, God told you to do this? Twice.
This man is unwell.
And then after all this, he remained in the state legislature because Republicans need his vote to override the Democratic governor's veto. Because Republicans. Okay, so that's the old story. We knew all that already.
Did we? That does not sound like a thing I've heard before.
He was forced to give up his substitute teaching license, which is kind of the least they get anyone could do.
Yeah.
So here's what we learned this week. This week, he was finally sentenced for the charges against him. Here's what happens.
Oh, God.
What do we want to have happen? Like, take him away from society now. Yeah. Like, what
the hell? Get him into therapy at the very least.
Something. He faced, based on what he did, he faced up to 6 months in jail, a $3,000 fine.
For kicking a child in the balls? In case anyone forgot.
Three different charges, $3,000 fine in total. Here's what actually happened.
Mikey was walking by. I wanted to make sure he knew what we were talking about.
He has to issue an apology to his victims.
I had to do that when I was 12.
Yes. He has to stay off of social media, except for political purposes. Which, by the way, political purposes could encompass, like, everything you want to say anyway. You just do it as under the guise of a politician. He has to pay $0 in fines, but, like, $263 in court costs.
Mm.
He has to serve a 90-day suspended jail sentence, which actually means he won't be behind bars.
I don't know what that means. Eh. Suspended jail sentence?
Whatever it means, he's not going to jail.
So a thing that rich white men
yes.
get?
Yeah. And he's on probation for a year. Which means nothing.
Nothing at all.
Like, and honestly, if you're being told you need to stay off of Facebook, that's, you're giving him a gift.
Yeah.
No. That's a reward.
He's going to get a little spa weekend.
I would love to stay off Facebook for a while. Jesus. I can't. So, and again, my takeaway from this is, like, what lesson do you want him to learn when this is what your reaction is?
I mean, listen, that's the problem with everything. That's, first of all, it's a problem with... God, what are we even doing? A grown man kicked a kid in the genitals, and everyone was like, it's not that bad. He didn't punch him in the face or something really crazy. Like, what are we doing? How are Republicans like, oh, Democrats are so graceless and they have no respect for anybody, but literally anybody can do anything and they'll justify it as long as they're on their team?
Yeah, this guy will be on the Supreme Court soon. Give him time.
Jesus.
One more.
Well, he's probably too old. What's he, 40, 41?
No, he's younger. He's in his 20s. He has a chance.
Okay, so he's on the Supreme Court next year.
Yes. One more update for you. I think last week we talked about in South Carolina, there's a school board that decided we have too many COVID cases because we're South Carolina with very few restrictions and too many kids either have COVID or tested positive for COVID or have close contact and they're calling out because they have to and we can't function.
Yep.
So we're just going to take like 2 weeks off or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to make you all quarantine. We'll try to do it virtually, learning for a little while. And they passed that. The school board decided we're going to just temporary quarantine for everybody.
Smart.
And one board member, Barbara Crosby, was so mad that she was like the one dissenter who's like, no, keep them in school. They must learn in person. And everyone else is like, yeah, we would love to, but we can't because people are going to die. And she's like, never. So anyway, we talked about her because she like walked out of the meeting in a huff. She wanted schooling no matter what. And then when a local news news anchor interviewed her for like 20-30 minutes and they posted it on Facebook, he basically... why do you want school no matter what? I mean, people are going to get hurt if they're spreading COVID. And her response was, God decides who lives and dies. So that's why we talked about her before, because this woman's on the school board. And thankfully, she was outnumbered, but also she's there. So there's an update on her, too, because not long after that meeting, she was arrested. Why was she arrested?
Tell me.
Oh, it's something.
I was sure this is going to end with she died of COVID.
No, not yet.
It looks like not yet.
Not yet. It turns out during that same meeting that she barged out of, out of fury, she had her grandchildren, or maybe her great-grandchildren, news reports said both things.
Okay.
She had two grandkids sitting in the car by themselves.
While she's in the meeting?
While she's at the meeting.
How old are these kids?
4 and 9. Just sitting in the car, and I'm going to read from a news article about this.
Did she crack the windows like I do for Dottie?
I don't know. The sheriff's office investigation started when a deputy at the district heard loud banging from the door of the center, where the board meeting is held. And when he opened the door, Crosby entered the building and said she's late. The sheriff's office report states that Crosby told the deputy she's late to the school board meeting.
Yeah, yeah.
She's trying to get in. The report states that Crosby told the deputy that she left her car in the parking lot with her 4-year-old and her 9-year-old grandchildren inside the vehicle. The officials said that Crosby also informed a district security officer, who then told Crosby she could not leave children in the car. Uh-huh. And according to the report, she proceeded past him and into the boardroom while directing the security officer, quote, to go watch them.
I won't even leave Dottie in the car if I have to pick up more than two things at the store. What?
She barged in late to the school board meeting, told the security officer, hey, see those kids in the car? You deal with them.
Yeah, your problem now,
sir. Your problem now.
You have a
badge.
And
then left them there. And like, as if the cops are her valet and her on-demand babysitters, apparently.
Oh, I like, in my head, she kind of did that like 1980s thing where you pull up in an airport and someone goes, you can't park here. And the guy goes, keep it, and throws him the keys. Yes. That's what I imagine she did, but with, nice. With her human grandchildren.
Right. And when officers went to the still running car.
Ooh, and is that better or worse that
I
it was
don't
running?
Know. There's a 9-year-old. That car could be driven off. But yeah. When the officers went to the car and removed the kids and offered to bring them inside the building, the older child said, we can't go in the building because we've been exposed to COVID.
Well.
So here's an update to that update. She has now been charged with leaving her two grandchildren slash great-grandchildren
in
the
neglect?
Car. Well, she had to pay a $25,000 bond. Oh. She was charged with two counts of unlawful conduct to a child and one count of statutory misconduct in office. Don't ask me the legal things, but basically she can't do that. And now she's punished for it. And she's still on the school board and she was elected.
Oh my God. People are... I wish I had kids so I could run for a school board because people can do anything, apparently.
Apparently.
I think that's the kind of like low grade power I really need in my life is to just like be the third most powerful person on a school board and then just really see if I can push the line and see who I can like fuck with and be like, I don't know. At least I didn't leave my human children in a car. I literally, before our road trip, bought a little thermometer to put in a back seat because I was so worried that Dottie would overheat back there.
Yes, that's because you care.
Yes.
And she does not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is a happy story, but I'm not upset about it.
Yep.
Is this Shachtenfried Corner? Yes. There's a Christian radio host, also a pastor of Denver Bible Church named Bob Enyart, who is famous because when he had his radio show for many years... decades ago, he used to announce the names of people who died of AIDS while playing the song Another One Bites the Dust.
Oh, this guy. Yes. Real bad time to be a conservative talk radio host, huh? Real
and
dangerous times.
He also hosted a wildly misnamed show called Real Science Radio, where they did not talk about real science.
Real, like R-E-E-L?
R-E-A-L.
And they just like the band Real Big Fish?
Sorry, not even
stupid.
Funny.
That wasn't even anything.
So his co-host of Real Science Radio announced this week, Bob's dead. From COVID.
Mm-hmm.
You knew that was coming.
Yeah.
And he said at the end of this Facebook post, like, the number of lives he touched is immeasurable, and I'm sure Jesus has an extra special place for him in heaven. Well done, good and faithful servant. Heaven's gain has left an enormous hole here on earth. ... Whatever.
So this guy...
I cannot...
During the AIDS epidemic...
Yeah.
He would read names. He'd read names, though, right?
He'd read their names, play the song,
like this guy is
their deaths.
As bad as you can get.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's absolutely factually untrue, but
he's pretty
bad.
Huge
asshole.
Yes, that's the hole that was left.
Yeah, I don't know. What? Am I, like, can I celebrate his death is what
yes.
I'm asking.
He also said he had sworn off taking vaccines because they tested these three products on the cells of aborted babies. They did not.
Did
That's not how
tested.
Anything
tested. That's nothing.
I don't. He also, by the way, sued the state of Colorado over their COVID restrictions.
Sure.
And a Trump-appointed judge was like, good idea, temporary restraining order on the restrictions so churches could open up and spread COVID.
How many people
COVID.
Do you think he killed then?
I don't know. It's,
like, he really took a lot of people
probably
down
not
with
zero.
Him.
Yeah. I don't know, but I will tell you this. When I saw his Facebook page shortly after this news, I cannot tell you how many people were posting clips of Queen.
I mean,
and another one bites the dust.
Why not? Why not? Like, yep. He deserves no more. You know what? I am no longer a be the bigger person. I'm not the bigger person. And because, like, who cares? What has being the bigger person got the Democratic Party? Abortion bans and Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And Brian Kavanaugh.
Brett.
Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Brian Kavanaugh is a person I actually know.
Nicely done.
He's an actor, I think.
I got one last story for you here.
You did the thing where you threw down your pen, so I thought you were done.
I'm throwing it out of anger.
Oh, okay. I'm not used to seeing emotion, so I was just confused.
There's a teacher named John Wallace. He was a junior high teacher in Missouri at a place called Neosho Junior High. And on the first day of class, he just had a rainbow flag up in his room because he said he wanted to make sure LGBTQ students didn't feel excluded.
Yay.
He did ask for permission, which
from whom?
Don't do that with your administrators. He's like, is it okay for me to put this in here? And they didn't say no.
Forgiveness, not permission, guy.
Right. But he did say that a bunch of students came up to him later and they said, thank you, because we wouldn't know where else to go.
Aww.
And then days later, the administrator said, you need to take it down. This is at the end of August, but we're finding out about it more recently.
Uh-huh.
He said he was called into a meeting with the administrators because a parent had called them. And let me say this slowly. They expressed concern that Wallace would, quote, potentially teach their child to be gay.
Sorry, I spit fully into this microphone. Jesus. Would teach, what age is he teaching?
Junior high.
Oh, buddy. I have such bad news for you.
Now, how would the flag make you gay? I thought long and hard about this.
Uh-huh.
I could not figure, I mean, well, you could go to a gay bar in San Francisco during Pride Week. And you would not turn gay. That's not how the gay works.
The thing is, you don't know. Every guy I went to college with who had that Led Zeppelin Dark Side of the Moon album poster on their wall, the one with the prism and the rainbow, every one of those guys is gay now. So it's not teaching. It's just if you're in if you're near a rainbow too much, it just turns you gay. That's why all leprechauns are famously gay, because they're always
obviously
at the end of the rainbow.
You've never seen them with wives. I mean,
never.
Yeah. They told him
I've seen with beards, though. Because they have beards sometimes, and beard is another word for dating a gay man, so people don't know he... Listen, honestly, I'm thinking about returning to stand-up comedy because I have been coming out with some zingers.
The teacher politely tried to push back on this stupidity of that.
Uh-huh.
But no, the administrator said, you got to remove the signs, whatever, like, you're all welcome here. And the flag, which one of the administrators compared.
Take down, we're all welcome here. Make sure you list the people who are specifically not welcome, sir.
One of the administrators compared his pride flag to a Confederate flag. And I'm quoting Wallace here.
Did the rainbow flag lose?
I
cannot remember, because we won Stonewall, if I remember correctly.
Here's what the teacher said, because he's awesome. I was told that in the classroom I have to be middle of the road on political issues, and I said, that's okay. This is not a political issue.
Yeah, bud.
I said, this is a human rights issue.
Yeah, bud.
And then I was told I have to be middle of the road on human rights. There's no middle road on human rights.
I was told I have to be middle of the road on human rights. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. What's this guy's name?
John Wallace. And John he said Wallace. later, he's no longer a teacher at that school. He chose to step down because why would you want to work at a school like that?
Out of curiosity, not that it's my business or really matters, did he self-identify as part of the queer community? Or is it just one of those, like,
I would wonder the question too, and I don't know the answer to that.
It's a very nice thing to do for your students.
He also said in a tweet, there's never a problem when a heterosexual teacher displays pictures of themselves and their spouses in the classroom, but I have a flag and all hell breaks loose.
Love this guy. Where does this take place? Let's buy him dinner.
This is Missouri.
That's not too far.
No. Yeah. Come on down, man. He did say, NBC News said Wallace has filed a complaint with the Education Department's Office of Civil Rights, alleging that he faced employment discrimination due to his sexual orientation. Okay. So there, your That's answer fair. Right there. But again, it's just for the simplest gesture.
Boy, that's really good. My I have friends who live in Wheaton.
Yeah. So where Wheaton College is.
Wheaton College. So Wheaton is just north of where Hemant and I are right now, and it's a very conservative city within a fairly like moderate kind of like suburban exurban area. But it's my friend and her partner moved into this place, and they're like, there's like three other gay couples on our street because it's a very conservative area. And so during Pride Month, they put out like on the end of their driveway, a little like cup with mini pride flags and just had like take one, and people took them. Aww. And so there was like I was driving through there in June. And there was so much pride shit. And then you cross a block and you're literally on the campus of Wheaton College and it takes a hard right turn. And I mean that very literally.
Oh, God. I lied. I do have one more story because you're going to enjoy.
How long are we going?
This way is too long.
So hot in here.
That's okay. There was a 2-week revival event earlier this month.
Okay.
At a place called Eagles Rest Church in Tennessee, just south of Knoxville.
I like Eagles Rest. That's a nice evocative name.
It was called the Prophetic Crusade. And again, 2-week long revival, lots of events, and kind of their headliner.
When we say revival,
We're just trying to
like the tents
you,
and
tent revival. Yeah, except it was indoors at their church. Oh. Yeah. But
so it's like a Ren Fair for Christians.
Yeah, sure. The headline preacher was a guy named Jerry Lee Anderson. Mm-hmm. So he's preaching several times over the course of 2 weeks.
He's the snake guys.
This is not a snake guy, but similar mindset.
Okay.
But because this was a 2-week long thing, I guess he's like living temporarily close to the church or in the church or something like that.
Sure.
And then on Tuesday, a day after this 2-week crusade ended, he was arrested. Why was he arrested?
Why?
Because it turns out he's a registered sex offender.
No.
And if you're living, even temporarily, in another state, you got to tell the officials. He never told them, and they knew he was there, so they arrested him.
Oh, but they waited after his little party was done,
well,
though?
Well, this is when they finally had the authority to do it.
Oh,
I see. That's I don't put this on them.
Okay.
They did what they had to do.
Don't defend the police to me.
I know, but in this case. But here's where it gets worse. First of all, if you look up, why is he a sex offender?
Did want to know that.
The victim was 7.
Fuck me, Jesus Christ.
I don't know what happened, but that I know that. And then it gets even worse. The pastor of the host church, Philip Spears, apparently he heard rumors that this guy was a sex offender in the last several days of the revival event. Not before, because apparently they didn't Google the guy.
Yeah, they didn't research.
But in the last days, plural, of the revival event, he heard an inkling that this guy might be a sex offender and did nothing. He just let the guy preach, kids in the audience, whatever.
Wow.
And then on the last day,
just like Jesus would have done.
Yeah. On the last day, he confirmed that the guy was a sex offender. Like, he knew for a fact, because I think the sheriff's office was like, we think this guy is a sex offender.
And he's like, oh, yes. Absolutely, yes.
And so the pastor knew he was a sex offender. And what did he say to Anderson? Did he say, get the hell out of my church and leave?
He said, shrug emoji, be cool.
He said, I cannot have you preaching here.
Oh.
Why don't you just stand over there and play music instead? Because, and this is what he told
me. So he's like, go do a DJ set.
Yeah. And when he explained this to the local news later, he said, the church is for everybody. I don't feel comfortable turning someone away from a house of God.
Uh-huh. Sir, hi, my name is Jessica. I'm attracted to women. Can I come to your revival, please?
No, you're not welcome here. Yeah. So basically, he welcomes the child molester in his church, knowing he's a child molester while there are childs in the audience.
Childs?
Yep. And
cool.
There you go. That's why they're more ethical than you godless heathen.
You guys are doing well.
Now I'm done.
Oh, the unforced errors they knock up for us. Okay, I have a couple things that I want to talk about before we go. First, friend of the show, Tyler Meesom, he was a guest on the show, God, maybe 6 months back, talking about his documentary, Murder Among the Mormons, which, if you haven't watched it, is great. If you haven't listened to the interview, I think is really good. He's genuinely one of the nicest, most fun people. He just kickstarted a new podcast, and I wanted to give it a plug, mostly because he texted me to ask me, and it's the only time I've been useful to anybody else. Okay, so his podcast is Was I in a Cult? I'm going to read the little thing. Hosted by filmmaker Tyler Meesom and writer-comedian Liz Iacuzzi. I got it. That's why I wasn't paying attention earlier. I was trying to figure out how to pronounce her name. Iacuzzi. This documentary-style podcast showcases individuals who have been in and, most importantly, successfully left a cult. Told firsthand by the episode's subjects themselves, these are tales of what it means to be a survivor. Using a bit of comedy, levity, and infotainment, the show humanizes the cultic experience and may leave some listeners asking themselves if they, too, have ever been in a cult. So yeah, I think people will find that pretty relevant to their interests if they're listening to this. And Tyler is genuinely a great person and fun to listen to. So I'd recommend that to you all. Do you have anything you want to plug or anything?
Sure, I'm sure I do, but I don't care.
Okay. Also,
go to patreon.com/friendlyatheistpodcast.
My husband and I just released the last canonical episode of Cooper Duper podcast. We watched the movie. Have you ever heard of the movie Inland Empire?
No.
It is a 3-hour nightmare fest. So we watched that and then tried to make heads or tails of it. It ended up being 3 hours long, and I think we each drank a bottle and a half of wine during recording. It got pretty fucking loose toward the end. But it was really fun. I re-listened to it. It's an interesting conversation about, like, what artists owe to their, to people who are watching it, and does it matter that David Lynch doesn't give a fuck if I like his movies or none? What does that mean? Anyway, I'd recommend it if you're looking for something. You can find me on Twitter at Jess Blumke. If you would like to buy a cross stitch from me, I have some time right now to work on those things. Go to Etsy, Bitches Get Stitch Done, and I will work with you to create something. You can just buy something I already sell. Email us. Oh, you know, we have a landmark podcast episode number coming up. We're coming up to like 400 or something like that.
Whoa.
Yeah, should we, like, do something for our 400th?
No.
Is it 400? Nobody knows for sure.
It is. This is 392.
392. So 8 weeks.
Uh-huh.
We'll have to figure something out. Oh, also, I'm going to be in Portland in October, and I might do a meetup there. Portland, Oregon. Not the other one. Anyway, so tune in for that.
All right.
And that's
it. We'll see you next week.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye.